When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions, lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X in Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
Now, with more on the dangerous weather across the country tonight, here's Mike with Storm Watch.
Dangerous weather, no question about it. Numerous areas we have tornado warnings tonight. We have a lot to cover, so let's begin with the biggest picture and show you that certainly across the Midwest, and as you work your way down through the Mississippi Valleys, we have a tornado and thunderstorm watches in effect. So we have severe thunderstorm warnings right now in and around the Milwaukee area, severe thunderstorms in and around the Chicago area. So we're watching also for a lot of flooding in these locations, Chicago and southern Cook County, watching for flooding. But just south now of Joliet, one particular storm that we're watching is this one right in the middle of your screen. And we do have a tornado warning right now. And this is Livingston County. We have a tornado warning until 9:15 local time. Fairbury, Forest, Chatsworth right now, and call them all locations that could be watching for a tornado to hit. This is a Doppler indicated tornado. And so you need to seek immediate shelter in your basement. The area shaded in red right here, that is Livingston County. So again, it really is a rough night for us right now. All we've got another storm that we're watching, and it's this one just outside of Springfield, and this is Christian County, where we have a tornado warning in effect right now. Again, what that means is you need to take immediate shelter if you live in these locations. There are many areas, and I'll take you over into the Northeast and show you here into portions of New York and Connecticut, where we're also watching for severe weather. So it's not just in the Midwest, also now occurring in the Northeast.
Widespread like last night.
Floodwaters come pouring out of the windows of this old mill in Buchanan, Iowa. Town is watching the river rising. Gushing waters have overflowed the banks and are flooding parking lots, businesses, and homes tonight. Saturday night was very extreme in terms of weather.
What is causing this weather?
And why?
But run.
We prepare to go live to Los Angeles.
Lorillard is virtually inaccessible.
Here in New Delhi, it's snowing.
In Nova Scotia, the ocean rose by 25
feet. What you see is happening now.
Jake,
it
was faster than the largest hailstorm on record.
Here at the Global Warming Conference in New Delhi, where if you can believe your eyes, it's snowing. The coldest weather on record has thrown the city into chaos.
The fury of Hurricane Noelani stunned weather experts yesterday, slamming into the unprepared island chain with a cataclysmic force never before witnessed. Meteorologists already believe this to be the strongest hurricane ever recorded.
As I predicted yesterday, the swell off Hurricane Noelani is incredible. These waves are even bigger than I imagined. Just take a look.
There's hail the size of golf balls coming down here.
Low pressure system moving along the California coastline is creating a cyclonic system across the LA basin.
Lancaster are reporting wind speeds in excess of 70 miles per hour, conditions that are highly unusual for California.
They just issued a tornado warning in Los Angeles.
Breaking news as we prepare to go live to Los Angeles.
I wouldn't be surprised. There is so much damage down there, and there are people down there taking pictures.
Hey, what the hell are you guys doing? Go for cover! You can't stay here! Get out of here!
What you're seeing are two actual tornadoes striking Los Angeles International Airport. Wait, it looks like they joined and formed one large tornado.
Mommy!
Oh my God!
For our national audience just joining us now, we are going live to downtown Los Angeles right now. Tommy?
If you look over there behind me, that's a tornado! Yes, a twister in Los Angeles! It's one of many tornadoes that are destroying our city! There's another one! That's the Los Angeles skyline! It's unbelievable! It's huge! I've never seen anything like that!
A massive tornado outbreak as twisters plow through the heartland. We'll tell you what you need to know right now to keep your family safe.
And at this hour, a deadly tornado outbreak continues. Lots of watches and warnings still spread across the region. One area that has been particularly active here is right along the border of Illinois and Indiana. The line of storms pressing eastward across Indiana. Indianapolis, you've already seen one tornado smash through the south side of town. Now there are more severe storms headed in your direction from the west.
And there is heavy damage in southeast Indianapolis. At least 71 tornadoes have been reported. One of those near Indianapolis Motor Speedway earlier today, while some 400,000 people were on hand for the big race.
And here's a breakdown of some of those tornado numbers out there. And we do have quite a lot in the way of tornadoes reported. Indiana leading the way today with 36. Boy, this is a race you don't want to be leading the way in. And unfortunately, there are still more out there and the potential for more into the overnight hours. We're taking you now to pictures of the damage in Marengo, Indiana, where one person died this afternoon in a storm. Three people also were killed by a tornado in Weatherby, Missouri, to the northeast of Kansas City in last night's outbreak.
Let's bring in our severe weather expert, Dr. Greg Ford.
Dr. Forbes, it's been an incredible May for tornadoes. Let's put this all in some perspective here.
Yeah, it started out real slow, but boy, this past week, 8 days have really accelerated. Let's take a look at some of the statistics. The first week, broken down here, 13 preliminary count. That's way below average. Next week, 67. The third week, 65. Now, since May 22nd, including May 22nd through yesterday, 308 reports of tornadoes, bringing the count for the month, not including today, to 453. Now, we have probably 70-some more today, so we're getting very close to the record that we set last May.
In 1989, Croatian immigrant Jim Singer was an upwardly mobile executive with a wife and two children.
And if somebody would have said to me, "You are going to have an apparition," I would have said, "What was in your coffee?" I would not believe them.
May the 18th of that same year began as an ordinary Sunday for the Singer family.
That was the day before our 19th anniversary. That night, we got in bed. We had nice discussion, my husband and I, how we gonna spend following day. Suddenly, in the midst of our conversation, my husband stopped talking to me. And that moment, I felt very powerful vibration all over around us. So I didn't know what's happening to him. For a moment or second, I thought maybe he got a heart attack or something.
Oblivious to his wife's attempts to rouse him, Jim Singer recalls a blinding flash of colored lights.
In the midst of that brilliance, a person came walking, a male, and he started speaking to me.
That very moment, I saw he was covered with beautiful, brilliant light, and he was transformed. He started talking to someone. The only word that I understood, that sometimes Jim said, "Our dear Lord," but I wouldn't dare even think that this is God.
Author Michael Brown has studied visionaries from around the world and is convinced that Jim Singer is authentic.
His experience probably as extraordinary as any I've ever seen claimed this century. And his messages are very powerful. His messages convey to us the sense of urgency of the time.
One of the first things that our Lord said was that the time has come that without his direct intervention, this world will not survive.
My husband, many times he grabbed for the pillow. He couldn't stand that. Whatever he saw after he explained to us as a family what he saw. And he put pillow in his eyes. He couldn't watch that. And in one apparition, I saw tears in his eyes. And he said, "Dear Lord, please help us. Help us, save us."
And suddenly, before me, it was like on a screen. Very, very dark skies. I mean black. Bodies. People wandering around aimlessly. Hunger. Individuals that were crying for drink and nobody would give it to them. Everybody was in a daze. What he showed me is if you're continuing on this path, this is what will happen.
And when they fell into ecstasy, they began screaming in the most terrifying way. What they saw has not been described clearly, except at a certain time, not a single motor is going to operate throughout the world. A terrible heat will come. And during this time of heat, people will look for water and they will not be able to find it. And they're going to attempt to kill one another in their desperation. The chastisement is more terrible than we can possibly imagine because it will come directly from the hand of God. The chastisement is conditional and it depends on whether or not we comply with the message. If we change our ways in life and we really make an effort to repent and make our lives better, then we can hold back the chastisement.
It's been more than 20 years since the girls experienced ecstasy. Now that they are grown, they too question the whole experience.
It really seems to me like happened to somebody else. So I don't know. I just try to remember the little girl going back and forth, but I don't remember to think anything.
The four now live in different parts of the world. Their time in Garabandal has long since passed, but the events there are well remembered. According to believers, the end, they predicted, may be near. During the night of screams, a date was set, and this information was given to the girls. But they're not talking. Maybe they're unsure of what happened so long ago, but they have a date in their minds and are forbidden to release that information until exactly 8 days before the final moment. No eyes saw the future in the form of a great phoenix, a bird that would rise from Mother Earth amidst terrible devastation.
When great phoenix come out of Earth Mother, her skin gonna tear bad.
You mean earthquakes?
Great storms come. They cover all towns. Summer and winter all mix up.
Floods, earthquakes, Mother Earth rising in revolt. But the great phoenix also warned No Eyes of upheaval caused by man.
He gonna hear bodies hit the ground and hear people's moan in great sickness.
Why?
Countries gonna be angry with each other. New countries gonna make nuclear bombs too.
No Eyes, what is the phoenix doing now?
He cry in great wail for people's future.
Mary Summer Rain believes that when No Eyes died, she left her with a very important mission.
No Eyes made me promise to write of our times together so that her wisdom and her message would not end with her.
Mary Summer Rain, through the teachings of No Eyes, foretells of a series of cataclysmic natural disasters to befall the Earth. Others share the same visions. Among them, a man from the northeast corner of America by the name of Gordon Michael Scallion. Scallion claims that he sees a time when all life may perish.
In 98 to 2001, the Earth becomes very quiet. The animals are quiet. Then a wind picked up from the east. It was hurricane velocity. I then watched the sun reverse its direction in the sky. The oceans themselves buckled and land masses were thrust up. Can't even begin to tell you how many sleepless nights I've had and the nights where I've just emotionally just totally lost it.
Scallion claims to live with a nightmare. Visions of cataclysmic earth changes that could wreak disaster by the year 2000. Gordon Michael Scallion didn't ask to become a prophet. In 1979, the gift of prophecy apparently chose him.
Prior to 1979, I had absolutely no belief system in the field of the paranormal. My background was more scientific, more electronic. I was a communications consultant, and I lost my voice one day.
Field operations to corporate headquarters and management oversight. Thirdly, wideband ground...
Are you all right?
It looks like he's choking.
It was like someone went in and removed my larynx. And the people I was with that day thought I was having a stroke. That placed me into the hospital for observation to see what was wrong. And that night, while in the hospital, a vision appeared and terrified me. The vision was a vision of a woman who seemed to float into the room and gave me some instructions, told me to write down what she was going to tell me. And I did. And what she told me was the beginning of prophecy as I've come to know them.
The next morning, Scallion says his voice mysteriously returned.
Good morning, Mr. Scallion. How are we feeling?
Better, thanks.
This says you can't speak.
I guess I'm okay. Wait a minute. There's something wrong with my eyes. It's like a weird glow or something.
Scallion was unaware he had just seen what he now believes to be his first aura.
I said, there's still something wrong with me. You better check my eyes now.
Okay, Mr. Scallion, put your chin right in there.
And they gave me an eye exam there, and they said, there's nothing wrong with your vision. And I began to do some conventional therapies, psychologists, psychiatrists, MDs, and that continued. And as I worked more with these people, more would occur. And I decided that if I stopped working with these people, it would all go away. And it did for about a month. One of the things that happened immediately thereafter is my vision became very distorted. When I looked at things, I no longer saw things in the normal color patterns, but I saw images around people and animals and trees.
Word spread of Scallion's strange powers. Not only could he supposedly read auras, but allegedly he could look inside the body and detect disease. Soon the sick and desperate began showing up at his door.
Gordon Michael Scallion?
Yes.
I'm sorry to disturb you like this, but this is Chris, and I'm his mom.
I'm sorry.
Please, the doctors don't know what's wrong with him, and I've heard that you're able to see inside.
Stop. I can't do it. You don't understand. I'm not a doctor. I can't help. Muscle's okay. Weakness is not from disease. That's why they don't know what it is. He's been poisoned. Heavy metals, 2 years ago.
His world of science and logic had vanished, thrusting Gordon Michael Scallion into a foreign land, a land of auras and visions. Visions which took him into deep trances. In these unconscious states, Scallion began talking, sometimes babbling about geological disasters. When he awoke, he remembered nothing, but he was always filled with a sense of impending doom. When his wife, Cynthia Keyes, first witnessed her husband's deep trances, she didn't know what was happening. But by recording his unconscious states, it was soon discovered he was predicting future geological events.
When he did go into a deep trance, his body would manifest changes. His body would go into almost a slump, and then he would sit straight up and begin to speak.
Richter 7.4, early February 1998, Southern California. A fault running east to west near Riverside. A forerunner of 8.1 Richter on San Andreas. Upward plate thrust.
I used to have to literally go and take a nap after I have one of these visions of 3 to 4 hours. And then there were times where I was in bed for 2 or 3 days. And that was a common thing throughout the 80s. Now what seems to happen is that when I'm at my word processor, I receive these visions.
Scallion claims his visions are all of cataclysmic disasters, simultaneous tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, and volcanic eruptions, all exploding across our planet in the years leading up to the millennium.
The disasters that I see occur in a sequence, and I'm given the warning signs of what the sequence would be. The kind of details that I see are the actual collapsing of the buildings, the people running in panic, the actual people, watching the water actually come in and covering communities. I see cargo planes coming in with Red Cross symbols on the side.
If even a percentage of his visions came to pass, Scallion decided he could still help save lives. In 1991, he began publishing his prophecies of future disasters in The Earth Changes Report.
The newsletter is a way of communicating with the public some of the prophecies that Gordon sees for the future in the United States and the rest of the world.
When Hurricane Andrew occurred, a year ahead of time, I warned about it. And then even a month before, I knew the direction it would come, the wind velocity, where it would land, and I warned as many people as I could. Since 91, when I began publishing the Earth Changes Report, the predictions that were significant were that, first, that L.A. would have earthquakes on April of 92, followed by the June 28th Landers earthquake, the floods in the Midwest and the Mississippi, the eruptions of Mount Pinatubo.
Scallion and his wife transformed their home into the Matrix Institute, a 24-hour hotline access to Scallion's prophecies occurring or predicted to occur within any given month.
I created a map of the future United States. This was a map that was a consolidation of the visions that I was receiving, and it represented what the United States would look like between 1998 and 2001. So the new West Coast will be in the area of Nebraska, down through Boulder and Denver, through this area as the new West Coast. And California has become a series of islands. Here, the Mississippi has expanded, the Great Lakes have merged. Good portions of New Jersey go underwater. Some of the changes occur abruptly. Some of the changes give us warning signs. The worst places is wherever you are when something like this explodes.
What he once considered a burden, Scallion now calls a gift in disguise. Gordon Michael Scallion believes his prophecies will help mankind prepare for the future.
I believe prophecy is given predominantly for two reasons. One is it's given to help us prepare for what is going to happen, or it helps us to change what the outcome would be. And so the loss of life could be significant unless we heed the warnings.
NASA discovered, and were very excited about having found this, what they term Planet X. X is the Roman numeral for the number 10, meaning the 10th planet in the universe. They were very excited to discover it on December 31st, the year 1983. But suddenly, the chief scientist of the infrared astronomical satellite system that sent this thing into deep space, and they sent back pictures of it, and they released it to six of the top daily newspapers around the world. Suddenly, the government came in, started putting a lid on all this information. But now we find out, just on the week of January 7th, the year 2002, that all of a sudden they're squashing all of this information and keeping it from the public. They said that it was an asteroid when finally they began to admit that it was there. But now in Newsweek magazine, they actually show it with a reflection, because now any astronomer on Earth can get a picture of it. And so the year 2002, January 7th, they finally admitted there is another planet, and it's heading toward the Earth, between the Earth and between the Sun. And it will displace the gravity of the Sun temporarily as it passes by, just as it did in the days of Peleg. Only the largest control telescopes that have been controlled by the government for years have seen Planet X, until I just mentioned they admitted that it is a real planet January 7th, 2002, but they began to see it in 2001. It was easy to cover it up until then, but then all of a sudden in the year 2001, small to mid-level observatories, such as the Lowell Observatory in Arizona, one in South America, one in Switzerland, began to see that there was something there and it was moving. And according to their calculations, it was heading toward our solar system because it had orbited out of our solar system. Occasionally, you would expect, with such an overwhelmingly important worldwide story, some of the details would be let out somewhere at some time. They have been. To be exact, it is our enemy. Since 1917 to 1919, international communism. The leaders of Russia have spilled the beans. Here's just one particular quote that came out over Reuters Press. That's like the AP and UPI Press here in America. This is the European Newswire Service. This was September 13th, the year 2000. I quote, "Anticipated chain of disasters due to hit in 2003. And then another one of the headlines was massive population shrinkage. They also wondered out loud, and it was recorded on microphone during one of their, what we would term in Britain, a parliamentary session, or in a congressional session in the United States. It's a Politburo session in Russia. They even wondered if their nation would even exist anymore at all. Government officials, you can be sure, can be trusted to protect none of us. They won't even release this information. They will not try to protect any of us because they know they can't. But they started a mysterious building program underground in at least 129 underground facilities from one end of the country to the other has been completed. We always thought that it was in case of a nuclear weapon, but we found out that it's not. It's in case Planet X comes our way. We need to understand how and why and when the Earth's surface is going to change so abruptly, and it will fulfill in great detail every single item of the Bible, the scriptures that I'll show you. Some of this information came off the wire service of ABC News in the year 2000. Others of it came from BBC, talking about a planet beyond Pluto heading this way. There's absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. They're actually talking that the population of this world could be reduced by 90%. Does that sound logical to anyone? Could it be? What if you saw a scripture right in the Bible where God Almighty said, yes, it's logical that it will happen? Why would it be so important to be sealed? Because if 90% of the population is going to die when this planet comes into this atmosphere or into our orbital structure and all the planet begins to shift, whole land masses sink, others rise, then wouldn't it be to our advantage to be sealed by the God of the universe for divine protection, to be kept as in secret? Notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. I'll start in verse 5 through verse 13. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. This is Isaiah. He's not worthy to take this down, he says. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw it in a vision. That vision disturbed him. It didn't sit well with him. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So now Isaiah is ready to give a prophecy because God has cleansed him and counted him worthy to receive this message to deliver to us today. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. This is Israel, is supposed to be warned. Hear you indeed, but understand not. See you indeed, but perceive not. So you go tell them the message. Don't be worried whether they'll listen to you, whether they'll laugh you out of town. Don't worry. You just deliver this message for me. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long are they going to be cut off spiritually? How long will they not understand the word? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That might not just be nuclear war. That might be something else. Because let's read the next two verses. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth. And it shall return. Now, what is a tenth? 10%. So that means if 10% is left, 90% are gone. Where did they go? It does not say. It just said there would be this great forsaking of this land. Only a few hundred million people, probably, according to scientists and astronomers' projection, will be left alive on planet Earth. The key is God is offering to every one of us to be Philadelphia, to be a part of that church of brotherly love, to lay aside all that would cause us to stumble before Him before the time. We need to be accounted worthy because these events are going to be massive. No one that has lived in the last 3,600 years has experienced anything. And I will give you a scenario before I'm through as to what scientists and astronomers think that it will do to the Earth based upon what it did the last time this planet came by. The controllers of the media, I'm talking about the ones who are working for world government, who head up the money markets of the world, and the world's government leaders are very fully aware of what's about to happen. They're prepared. Keeping this story out of the major media was very important because it will, when it reaches the people's understanding, it will collapse the world's economy. People will quit working and say, well, what's the use? We're all doomed anyway. The stock markets will crash. Real estate prices will plummet and go to the bottom. You won't be able to give away anything. It'll cost the economy billions and trillions of dollars, and then it will cost millions and billions of lives on planet Earth. If what these scientists and astronomers are saying is correct. And so far we've seen biblical scriptures which have said identically the same thing. In 1983, Planet X, or the 10th planet, was spotted by the infrared astronomical satellite that was put up by NASA. And then there's been a complete blackout ever since concerning this particular event. X is now so close that they can't cover it up anymore. That's why the Newsweek for December 7th year 2002, showed it and for the first time admitted that it was another planet.
Solar storms. And the answer is, and I believe this comet, this small comet that came through on the 17th, just yesterday, the very small comet, answers our question. The sun blew off a full coronal mass ejection, which means that the ejection off of the sun went in all directions. So just from that standpoint, it doesn't matter where the comet is necessarily relative to us. When the sun blows off and lifts off an entire layer of its surface and blows it out into space in all directions in three-dimensional space, it doesn't matter because we're going to get hit no matter what. And I think you'll see this in increased auroras tomorrow night if it's visible where you are, and also high winds. What this will do is pump up any low cells into larger storm systems. That type of thing. So, and the reaction will occur for a couple days. Of course, if the solar storms become extremely large, then the effects on Earth would be much more devastating. In other words, we would have hurricanes out of season. I call them himicanes. We just had one run through the middle United States here. In fact, we actually had two, where the low pressure cells get into the low 900. Range, and actually these are small hurricanes racing across the land, and in towards the center you're getting winds that are approaching hurricane class winds. We had two of these in the last week move across the United States. I watch this daily. The last, since the 14th of April, the proton count that you can see, everybody can go to the SOHO satellite data bank. There are three spikes that have occurred 3 days apart. So it's been the, let me see, would have been the about 2.5 days apart for the last about 5 days. But what happens, we are just hit with a wall of protons, and the counts have been going off scale. So this is, in other words, the solar wind is from the sun is continually putting out protons and electrons, and there's a stream that we measure daily, and there's a certain velocity, average velocity these come with, probably around 300 kilometers per second. And that velocity is just like a wall of material hits us from the sun and breaks down our magnetic field, causes our magnetic field to compress, and therefore causes currents to flow across Earth that are much larger than normal. And this is what drives our storm systems. It's what drives our ionospheric jet streams, what we call the jet streams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I also want to mention, I watch the news, just the local weather. Of course, they get their weather from NOAA, National Aeronautic Weather Systems. They're going, well, we sure don't know where this 90-degree weather came from and why we're getting winds off of the Arizona desert. Minnesota.
That's our government agency is saying that.
Yeah, they have no clue. And then the next day we're being hit by 60 to 80 mile an hour winds, where this low cell, which was a normal low cell, all of a sudden coupled down and turned into what I call a himicane. And don't you happen to notice that your other satellite up there is, we're being hit by a wall of protons from the sun at exactly the same time?
Is that coincidence?
And you know what NASA said? They've been approached with this, and they go, yeah, that's just coincidence.
Oh, they actually said that, too?
Well, yeah, and this was relative to a number of times, of course, when comets came in one time, and this I forget the year. This is going to be part of my new posting, is one of the events where comets came in close to the sun. 2 years ago, I believe, or maybe 3 years now, two comets came in and grazed the solar flare, and the second one went right through the flare. The first one just kind of grazed it, and the second one went right through it. And about 10 minutes later, the sun blew off the most immense flare. In fact, it was the largest flare ever recorded coming off the sun.
Wow.
In response to that comet coming across. And, of course, my theory says that's just what it should do.
That's just a little comet.
That's a little comet, yes.
Yeah. Mark, have you gotten any indication in your research as to what has happened the last two or three times Nibiru has come through the solar system?
Well, of course. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Of course. What you had was what Jim was explaining during a previous radio show that I was listening very close to. You have tides in the ocean and tides in the crust. And he could probably explain it a lot better, but these crustal tides would simply be like throwing a blanket all around the like you're making a bed, and the roll of the blanket, the tides would happen on the crustal surface, and it would not be a very good, if you were in the desert watching this thing, you could watch the rolls come towards you of these tides, in other words, quakes, and that's just talking about the quakes, not the hurricanes or the mantle slipping over the core.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good example, or like a rope, you know, how you take a rope or a garden hose and you flip it and it carries the wave along, and that's exactly what would happen in the Earth's mantle as this object would pass near Earth.
So that could be one of the easiest explanations for them finding a city off Cuba at 2,100 feet underwater.
Oh, absolutely. And the Earth just didn't do this. I was on a show the other night, and a caller called in. He said, there's a professor who's saying that the Earth is going to flip its poles simultaneously or spontaneously in a such, you know, something 2003. And I said, you know, this is disinformation. The Earth just doesn't do this on its own. We're talking incredible, incredible amounts of energy to produce this type of thing. We know that the Earth's poles have shifted physically, not the magnetic poles.
Right.
I mean, the magnetic poles have shifted also, but the physical poles of the Earth have shifted, and we have a little thing called angular momentum in physics, which says that something is moving in a circular rotating motion, it's going to keep doing that unless some force changes it.
Yep, right.
And in the case of a planet rotating, a solid planet, this is not a gas planet, we're talking about the mantle of the Earth, you need incredible forces to raise continents, to lower continents, to build mountains, and to change the rotation of the Earth. And now, once again, I want to make it clear that Mark mentioned this, that the mantle of the Earth is separate from the core of the Earth by this viscous volcanic fluid layer. So when typically they're moving together, but if you have this ripple effect, this tidal force racing through the surface of the Earth like a blanket or like a hose that you've just flipped and there's a wave traveling down it, that's going to, if this thing comes by in the right direction, like has happened in the past, that wave will actually wrench the mantle of the Earth to a different location, and then it will actually pick up and spin again. A real good example, a daily example of this that people can use is a hard-boiled and a soft-boiled egg. If you take a hard-boiled egg and spin it, in fact, cooks will do this to tell if an egg is hard-boiled or not.
Right.
A hard-boiled egg, when you spin it, it keeps spinning. A soft-boiled egg, and just go to the refrigerator, grab an egg, and spin it, and what happens is very quickly it stops spinning. And the reason for that is because when you spin that outer shell, you are not spinning the liquid shell on the inside.
Right.
And so the liquid shell, liquid part on the inside is just sitting there in spite of the fact that you're spinning the shell of the egg. And very quickly, the shell will pick up the rotation of the fluid in the middle and slow down, and that's exactly what happens with the Earth during one of these events.
Hmm.
And this is very important relative to Planet X, because what I've been saying all along is that as this very large object comes in, it's going to ignite into a large comet, and when it does become visible, everybody will be able to see it as a large comet.
Now, do you mean, Jim, that when it comes in more to the atmosphere, it's going to start to light up?
Yeah, into the solar system, just
yeah.
like Hale-Bopp. Hale-Bopp was a large comet,
right.
and it was visible way out beyond Saturn, and, of course, it was first visible with telescopes. It
right.
was actually discovered by Mr. Hale and Mr. Bopp, who were amateurs,
right.
with, you know, average backyard. They had nice telescopes, but average backyard telescopes by today's standards.
Jim, could I interrupt there for a minute with a question?
Sure.
Neil Freer here.
Yeah.
The classic model of the comet is that the tail is generated by stuff that is being gradually worn off the surface, whereas you're saying that the better theory is that material, though reflective, is actually being drawn to the comet as it passes through space.
Yeah, and it's a plasma effect, and I don't want to go into it here. And, of course, if people who are familiar with my webpage and my published papers and other materials of mine know that, I mean, you can delve into the theory on how this works. Basically, the comet becomes a giant vacuum cleaner, sucking in the tail material and becoming bigger. So, in other words, eventually they become big enough to where they become planets, and the thing that's going to affect us here is that the other thing that NASA always tries to say is that, well, unless one of these things hits us directly, then nothing will happen to us, and that's totally incorrect.
I would think so.
That the point with Planet X, once again, is that even as it enters the solar system and begins this electrical discharge with the sun, it's going to start affecting the solar weather. And I know from watching the sun every night in the last month, the sun, it looks like a popcorn popper right now. The solar flares coming off the sun are just like a popcorn popper going off, where it used to be every few days you might get a nice
right.
flare.
Yeah.
Now it's like every 10 minutes. And nobody's talking about this. In fact, I saw an article that was just released by NASA, one of their Please Don't Worry articles, that said, we are about to head into the minimum. Don't worry, the sun's going to calm down. And by the way, it's year 2002. We were supposed to be at the solar maximum in the year 2000. And it's still going up.
Yeah.
It was something like 527...
Flares
or something?
The sunspot count.
Sunspot count.
Yeah, and it's still going up. And a very interesting thing happened the last couple nights, as long as we're on the topic of comets. A brand new comet came in, visible on the SOHO satellite. That's the one that sits out a million miles from Earth and just does nothing but looks at the sun all day and all night.
Yeah.
And a comet came in, wrapped around the sun, and just as it hit perihelion, right, the closest approach to the sun, it came flare that was existent. But the sun blew off a total, what they call a full coronal mass ejection. In other words, the entire surface of the sun lifted up and blew out into space. And we'll see the effects of that tomorrow or tomorrow night sometime in high winds and storms on Earth. But
not to get too much into detail, but...
Yeah.
The when there's a coronal mass ejected like that, and it obviously, in this case, it heads for Earth, in your opinion, how lethal are those blasts at this particular point in time?
Yeah, they're still minimal, but the point is we're seeing, in fact, I'm about to post this event on my homepage, and we'll talk about that a little later, but... this event and two others, which are direct evidence that as comets approach the sun, you can see the electrical discharge and then the sun blow off, you know, blow a big head off. Mm-hmm. And the point is, when Planet X comes in, it's going to be affecting the sun in a tremendously accelerated level, and goodbye solar maximum. We're going to go way above solar maximum, and this is going to directly affect our weather.
And that's
the beginning.
Yeah. Jim, hang on a minute, because we have Mark with us.
So, Mark, your opinion still holds that, as many of us think, the reason for the silence, it's not even a cover-up.
It's a blackout.
It's a blackout. It is simply because those who know that they can't do a damn thing about it, and therefore why say anything, because it's just going to cause panic.
Well, yes, that is their reason. But you have to understand, these people are overthinking this thing, in my opinion, now.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that work for DOD, military, CIA, they're very bright, and they just assume that people have similar intelligence. I don't really believe if you even started announcing this thing that too many people would pay attention. I really don't believe that the people would actually change their lives or move away from unsafe areas en masse. You know, a few select groups would, of course, but they are overestimating what the public en masse will react to. They don't listen to talk radio, the public en masse. They don't read much. They just go about their daily lives and struggle through them, and they don't pay much attention. If they heard about a planet, they say, "Oh yeah," and then turn away.
Yeah,
I would like to think you're right, Mark, but you know, we got 275 million, 280 million people in our country. You don't need a very large percentage of people interested in what might happen. And my goodness gracious, it would cause such an upheaval in not only our country, but then you look at most of the other developed countries in the world, and the same thing would begin to happen, I think.
Well, I don't really know about that. I mean, there's always a certain percentage of people that would pay attention, but see, this
sure.
is way too involved. It is a lot of, you'd have to do a lot of research just to find out, you know, the past calamities and the level of them.
Right.
For someone to even begin to make a decision, and just a little bit of disinformation such that, well, possibly this time it won't be as severe, we'll get a lot of people turning their heads.
Okay, everybody, we have to take a quick break, so we will be right back with our guest. After the break, I will again introduce everybody, but you are listening to Mysteries of the Mind.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, TOWACO, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, OWACO, New Jersey, 07082.